Well, welcome back, folks. Many of you know that we've been heating our house and our buildings with this outdoor wood boiler for the last 18 years or so now. And it's been really nice, and it's good for us because during a normal winter with temperatures of 20 to 30 degrees Fahrenheit, throwing firewood in here twice a day is usually all it takes to keep our house, our garage, and my workshop heated. But there's a few weeks every winter where it can be brutally cold with single digit or even below zero temperatures. And when you combine that with a strong wind, filling it two times a day usually doesn't cut it. Meaning sometimes I need to feed it in the middle of the night. And at times burning firewood alone doesn't keep the house warm enough. So we rely on backup heat sources when those times occur. But you know what? Our boiler is designed to burn both wood and coal. And for some reason though, over the last 18 years, I've never even tried burning coal. And recently I had a viewer type up a really nice long comment explaining to me that I should really try burning some coal and it might help me get me through those long polar vortex nights. Well, with some of those nights coming up in the forecast, I decided now is a good time to give it a try. I want to experiment with burning both coal and wood together and see if it'll be worth the cost and the effort to make it happen. Because if it helps keep the boiler up to temperature for a longer period of time, then that would be worth the cost to me. But first things first, I know nothing about burning coal other than what I've talked to about it with my dad and my father-in-law. So I'm gonna jump on the old Google machine to try to learn a little bit more myself. And I think it would be really worth talking to an expert too, if I could find one. Then hopefully we'll see how it works out and maybe I won't need to set an alarm for the middle of the night anymore. Fingers crossed anyway.
Dig drive DIY.
So first of all, in order to even think about burning coal, you have to be sure that your stove or boiler is designed to do so, because most regular wood stoves are not. Fortunately, our boiler is able to burn coal because it has shaker grates in the bottom and an airflow source that comes from the bottom up through the ash pan. In order to be prepared to attempt this experiment, I need to be sure that my ash pan is clear and I've got good airflow through the bottom. So I wanted to do a fresh clean out. Once I have that ready, then we can talk about the different kinds of coal that are available to burn.
You gotta be careful not to get it stuck in the grates though. I've done that before. Give it another shake. Get a few more ashes in there. I can tell that there's some ashes gathered up in the back of the stove. They tend to accumulate back there in the back because you run the ash pan in and you can't get that back cleaned out. So I'm probably gonna go ahead and try to see if I can get that cleaned out in the back. So these are cold ashes from a previous cleaning. And I usually put ashes in a steel wheelbarrow, put them inside the building so the wind can't blow any hot embers out of here. But now that these are cooled off, they've been in here for more than a week. I got two different wheelbarrows. These are a couple weeks old. I'm gonna go ahead and empty these into the trash can. Oh man, hold on. A little sugar in my coffee. Okay, a lot of people talk about having a mask on. I think that's very important. If a mask is not available or I'm in a hurry, I do this technique like you would use if you were to go underwater and you didn't want to drown. I hold my breath and I do all my dusty work with my breath being held. And then when I'm done, I step away and I go like that and I breathe. Cool trick. We're gonna go ahead and clean this pan out. See, it's got a couple hot embers there. Embers, hot embers. It's just so I don't touch them with my hand. Here we go. Here's this trick. See how there's some accumulation? That's in the back, and I can't scoop it out of the back. Oh yeah, see that? So it's plugged up back there. That's where the air blows in from the fan, and it looks like it's completely plugged. I try not to get a bunch of wood stacked up in the back, but we're gonna have to see if we can get that out of there. Okay. All right, so these are the two fans, the two blower motors. We got air that blows across the top of the stove, and it's got a tube in there with holes drilled in it, and it blows down on the firebox. And then there's this fan right here that blows through the bottom of the ash pan and up through the shaker grates. This is the one I'm worried about. I'm afraid there's ash accumulated right inside this tube. And I normally have to clean this out maybe once or twice a year. But I'm just gonna pop this off of here, and then we're gonna blow air through there and get it cleaned out. Okay, see that ashes? That's what we don't want. So let's get that cleaned out as best we can. Sweep this out. I'm going to blow a little air in there for good measure. That's good. I'm going to see. All right, we've got that blower hole all cleaned out. Do you want to get a shot down in there? Okay. Now I feel good about that. Now the air should blow through there a lot easier. Wait till the fans kick on. Oh yeah. Now we're ready to go find some coal, and then we'll proceed with trying it out.
Coal is available in a variety of different forms depending on what you want to use it for, but the two most readily available are anthracite and bituminous. They're oftentimes referred to as hard coal and soft coal. Anthracite is a higher ranking coal that is hard, brittle, has a higher carbon percentage, and is harder to ignite, but burns a nice blue flame. I'll be looking for a low sulfur anthracite to burn in my wood boiler because it is hotter and cleaner burning, and you can usually find it in 40 pound bags at your local farm type of stores or even Tractor Supply. I found it in two places pretty close to me pretty easily.
All right, there's 10 bags of that. So just for reference, after tax, the bags from Schmucker Engine Repair are about 11 and a quarter a bag after tax. 11 and a quarter for a 40 pound bag. That equates to almost $500 a ton. He said to buy it in bulk is $450 a ton. That's a lot, $450 a ton. So might be cost prohibitive, but this might help with those long cold nights. So let's run over to Tractor Supply. I want to buy 10 bags there as well, and we'll just see what they've got for comparison. Okay, it's around the side of the building. Anthracite coal, rice coal. Wait a minute. Miner's choice. Nut coal. Nut coal, rice coal. What's the difference? Oh, that's a little fine. That's ground up really fine. Okay, I know nothing about coal. Rice coal. I can feel that this is like super fine ground up stuff. So this is what I want.
I soon learned that coal can be purchased in different sizes too, depending on the application you want to use it for. The name of it is based on the size. For example, there's a very fine rice coal, then there's pea coal, which is obviously a little bit bigger, and then what I was looking for, what I was told to get, was nut coal, or sometimes called chestnut coal.
I feel like I'm committing a crime against firewood by loading up a bunch of coal. All right, well, for comparison, from Tractor Supply after tax, it was $12.83 a bag. 11 and a quarter, 12.83. So Tractor Supply is more expensive. I don't know that it's any more convenient. They are open later hours. The Amish place is just 2 miles from here, so there's no distance convenience. We'll go get it home and try it out, I guess. Well, there's the 10 bags of Tractor Supply on the right and the 10 bags from the Amish place on the left. It looks like there's one bag difference. and how it sits. I can tell this stuff is a finer grind than this stuff on the right. So after finding some anthracite and nut coal locally and learning a little bit about how to burn it from the internet, I began to experiment this past week because it has been really cold. Matter of fact, it seems like every year during our local farm show, it ends up being one of the coldest weeks of the winter. It never fails, but that actually makes it a really great time for a farm show because everybody wants to go walk around indoors. And this year I actually got to meet and talk to quite a few viewers, which was fantastic. So thanks so much if you stopped by to say hi. But I also had a really unique situation in that I could talk directly to someone with lots of experience in burning coal in the exact brand of boiler that I own. So I wanted to find out if what I was doing with my stove was first of all safe, but also if I was doing the right approach.
It's got a safety latch. So
one,
two, so that when you open it, it doesn't blast you.
Yeah.
Seen you struggling. I wanted to
help
you. Can I help you?
Can I ask you a few questions about Keith, are you the owner?
Used to be.
Your son runs it now?
Yep, Ryan and Jessica.
Okay, so I've had a Crown Royal stove for 18 years, I think mine is going, 7,400.
Okay.
My question is, I recently had some viewers tell me I should be burning coal.
Okay.
So what are your thoughts, or what can you tell me about burning coal in one of those stoves, or if it's a good idea or not, or...
If you have access to coal, I like coal.
You do?
Hard coal burns different than bituminous coal or soft coal. Soft coal kind of burns like a wood, but you want to be careful what you buy and make sure it's low in sulfur.
Okay.
Hard coal, I like rice coal. A lot of them that burn coal will mix with wood in that. So I guess hard coal is a little harder to burn.
Is it?
Yeah, and you got to run a different differential, probably a 1 to 3 degree differential.
Okay.
Otherwise, when you shut down, coal will go out on hard coal. Soft coal, 5 to 10 degrees.
Okay. So the problem I was having was, like, especially when it's super cold like it has been this week, I burn lots and lots of wood.
Yep.
And if I put wood in at 9 o'clock at night, because I'm heating the house, the garage, and a big workshop, you know, the fire would go out, it would burn up all the wood by about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Okay.
But I don't want to be out there until about 7.
Yep. Coal take you longer.
Will it take?
Yeah.
Well, so here's what I've been doing, and I guess I just want a confirmation on whether or not this is okay and that I'm not going to hurt anything. I split the bag into 2 5-gallon buckets, and I've been throwing in 20 pounds at a time on the top of like a little bit of an ash layer.
Yep.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Would that
build build it up good. What I normally do when I do coal, I will take probably 4 to 6 pails of coal. I'll put 2 or 3 on top of the fire, and then I put a pail on the left, a pail on the right, and a pail in the back. So the next morning when I come in, then I rake that warm coal over the grates, and then I repeat it and throw it on there. Gives the coal time to be warm and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
So you're not burning it up, it's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there ready to go and warmed up.
Definitely, yeah.
So is there any risk of damaging the grates or what?
You want to keep at least 6 to 8 inches of ash all times over the shaker grate.
Okay, that's...
And you don't have to shake them. And with coal, you probably want to rake, a good rake, that you can kind of break up the coal when you go out there to move it around a little bit.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, because I can't believe I've had this stove this long and never at least tried it.
Yeah.
And to me, what I've seen in the last week or two of experimenting is that if I just throw that partial bag in there on the bottom and put wood on top, it's burning up the wood.
Yeah.
But then by 7 in the morning, I still got a real super nice layer of hot coals.
Yeah. And you got... Where's your controller, in the front or
it's
the side?
It's in the front.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
The rheostat, where's that at about?
The rheostat's about 3/4.
Okay. Yep. That's what we recommend.
Okay. So, good.
Yeah.
So I accidentally did it right.
Yes, correct. Because as you look on our new ones, we have a where it's supposed to be.
All right. Well, at least for the coal side of it, sounds like I'm not doing anything wrong, or I'm not going to hurt the stove. So these stoves were made to burn coal or wood, right?
Correct.
And do you have many people that do both like that, though? Does that mean, is that a good practice to throw some coal in with the wood or not?
it gets you longer burn time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it helps you learn how to burn the coal also.
Okay, yeah.
You know, just stop burning wood and trying to burn the coal, it takes a little bit to know how to do it. So.
I've only been doing it for a week or two, but I just want to make sure that I wasn't going to get the sides hot. Like, will the coal even burn if it's on the water jacket?
No.
It won't?
It's mainly right over
it's
the
shaker. It's got to be over grates. The shaker grates. Yeah. Okay. So, well.
And it will be red. It's beautiful. I love burning coal. We burn it in our display trailer all the time.
Do you really?
Yep. So.
Well, I've really kind of, I like the smell of it. And when I throw it on there, it really crackles and pops.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I'm glad I talked to somebody that knows what it's doing, because I felt like I was just kind of, I've heard some horror stories of people melting their grates and, overheating
it.
If
you don't have enough ash over it, you'll burn the grates.
So you're okay to have 8 to 10 inches of ashes in there, you think?
Almost certainly. Yeah, the air gets through it.
Gets through it,
that's
fine. It's
like a filter system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it. Yep. So thank you, Keith. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
God, I'd love to have that. Well, so far my experience burning coal has been a success. I can already tell that I've got much longer burn times and a hotter fire, which means I can maintain a higher stove temperature throughout that entire burn period. The downside is that the cost is a little higher than I would like it to be, especially buying it in the bags like I did, but next year I may try to find some bulk options that could potentially be a little bit cheaper, like either buying a couple scoops at a time or a whole pallet of bags. But for me, the positives so far outweigh the cost, because not only will this help me get through those long, cold nights without getting out of bed, but it will be a nice alternative for anyone that we ask to tend to the stove if we're away on vacation or gone for an entire day, something like that. So yeah, drop a comment to tell me what you think, or if you have any experience burning coal, is there something else you think I should try, or is there a cheap way for me to buy this stuff in bulk that you know of that I could take advantage of? What's the going price of a ton of anthracite nut coal near you? And I want to thank you for any of that feedback or just for clicking on this video. I hope that you liked it. And if I'm lucky, I will see you in the next one. Hey, real quickly before you go, I just wanted to say again how much I enjoyed meeting a bunch of you at the Fort Wayne Farm Show. There was more folks than I had anticipated, and I had great conversations with Steve and Jared and Jim and Brent and Bill and Wyatt. I'm going to forget a lot of you, obviously, and I'm sorry for that, but it meant a lot to me for you to come up and say something. But I wanted to give a special thanks to Dan. Dan made a hand-painted rock. And this is like, he's part of a Fort Wayne rock club where they leave rocks around for people to find and discover, and then they can log them on their Facebook page. But thanks so much, Dan. That was really nice of you to bring me this, and I'll have a place for it in my desk to hold down any important papers. So thanks for that, and hopefully I'll meet more of you in the future. Until then, if I'm lucky, I'll see you in the next one. I think I already said that though. Oh, don't look over here.